Good afternoon. Today is Friday, August 31st, 244th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, not in the context of what you might anticipate, but how about if we introduce him as boat hobbyist Troy Nicolini? Does that work?
Yes.
All right. So this afternoon we'll spend a little bit of time talking about restoration, some of the things that are going on. Troy's got a very, very advanced disease.
That's a good way to describe it, actually. Yeah.
What's the definition of a boat? Oh, a hole that you pour money into?
Yeah. Or you can replicate the same sensation as a boat by standing in a cold shower and tearing up $1,000 bills.
Oh, that would be just as much.
Yeah, pretty similar.
Well, don't forget the barnacle scraping.
Yeah, it used to be $100 bills, but now inflation, you know.
Yeah. So we'll talk a little bit about boat building, restoration, and that kind of stuff on Humboldt Bay when we come back.
I'm Mark Biette with today's garden tip about not being a prunomaniac. The conscientious gardener needs to know that each kind of plant has its own best time to be pruned. Avoid shearing flowering plants into shapes which really look unnatural. Thin flowering shrubs with a hand pruner. I'm Mark Biette with today's garden tip.
You've got to get up pretty early in the morning to hear Mark Biette and his wealth of gardening knowledge. 5 to 7 a.m. Sundays on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Troy Nicolini, but before we do, our quote this afternoon, here you go, Henry Van Dyke. Use what talents you possess. The woods would be very silent if no birds sang there except those that sang best. I wouldn't imagine that you would want to use the same analogy with boat building and say, give it your best shot. If it sinks, we'll still pull it out.
That's actually an amazingly appropriate quote because it's true. I mean, a wood boat, there's basically boards with seams between them, and you pound cotton in to keep the water out. And every one of those little inches of cotton is sort of the difference between you and sinking. And so, yeah, you kind of have to.
Now, is cotton still used, Troy,
on the
newer, not just the old-timeys?
Well, if it's a traditional built boat, cotton's still the best material to pound in between each of the two wood planks to seal it, yep.
So it'll swell up.
The wood swells and pinches the cotton and makes a really nice watertight seam.
But the cotton won't dissipate over time?
Well, it actually does, but it takes several decades. And plus you coat it with kind of a poisonous stuff to keep the cotton from rotting, but yeah.
All, I'm sure, authorized and accepted by Cal Fish and Game and the water.
Yes.
That'd be rough if they had a raid out on the island and they were coming for you at the weather shop instead of at the boat.
I have to be particularly careful because, as my day job, I work for NOAA, and NOAA looks out for the ocean, so I got to follow the rules.
It's kind of like a fire guy having a fire in his garage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
What is the most challenging thing about boat renovation?
That's a really great question. Well, first of all, finding the time in modern life, you know, cars are great today. You just put the key in and turn it on and they go. I'm old enough to remember when you had to like adjust the points and tune the carburetor. And
I remember having people do that.
But you know, wood boats are sort of a throwback to an era where they take a lot of labor to keep them healthy and surviving, you know, for future generations. And it's just tough to find the time in modern life. It's so busy.
Now, I think there's still a lot of, people have positive thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
This would be neat. This would be fun. This would be cool. Yeah, the yacht.
Yeah.
Or the schooner. Or renovating or having a houseboat or a catamaran or da 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 da.
Yeah.
How much time would you guess it takes to maintain a ship that's in the water? You're not pulling it out. It's not a jet boat or anything.
Yeah.
Just to keep everything safe, healthy, the way that you'd want it, comfortable, all those types of things.
Yeah, assuming that like you had a wood boat that was in really good shape to begin with.
Let's start out with an 8 on a 10.
Yeah.
So it's not perfect, but it's still more than nice.
So I've never actually been there.
Oh, it's
I'm always fixing them up. At least I'm being honest, right? But I know that, for example, Jimmy Smith, our local supervisor, used to be a commercial fisherman. And he told me his boat was pretty much primoed out. It cost him about $6,000 a year to maintain it, just from the slip fee and hauling out and painting the bottom. And I was next to him for a few years, and so his boat was pretty primo. I'd say he was down for a few hours every weekend through the dry season. So it's not a hobby for the faint-hearted.
Just doing a little bit here, a little bit there.
A little bit of painting here, and a little change in the engine oil, and fixing some little bit of rot here, and tuning things up. Yeah. So I hope to get to that point, because I've put most of my spare time for the past 4 years into this project just to get Sabrina, my boat, to the point where she just needs maintenance.
You mentioned the mechanical side of it.
Yeah, that's right. There's the wood. There's the mechanical.
The mechanical, to me, would be mind-boggling, because I'm not. But when you look at a engine in most of the boats, not the Evinrudes and the Mercurys kind of stuff, but regular, is that something that takes an awful lot of TLC? Is it like an auto mechanic would be working on a car engine?
Yeah, pretty comparable. In some way, they're diesels generally, and so they actually in some ways are more reliable and are less finicky than gas engines. But they're in a salt environment, and so they tend to, it's kind of a harsh life they lead, and so they need quite a bit of care and feeding also. But there's folks around town that do the work. For a lot of folks, just hire someone out to work on the engines.
So that's something that you don't lose face by doing that?
No. And most of the commercial, I shouldn't say most, a lot of the commercial fishing fleet in Humboldt Bay still uses wood boats. And there's a great guy around, David Peterson, who does all the woodwork for folks. So, they can hire that out as well. Most people hire out their work. I just do it because I like it,
So obviously, if you have a leak, you got to pull the thing out.
Yeah.
If it's below water.
Yeah. There are some old, you can park it in the mud for a little while and hope the mud will fill in the seams, or put a coffee can full of sawdust under the boat and then turn it up and let it float up, and maybe someone will stick it. There's all kinds of old wives' tales ways to stop a leak without pulling the boat out of the water. But generally speaking, you've got to pull it out.
Yeah, and then the excitement of realizing that it didn't work.
Right. There's a great book, The Boat That Wouldn't Float, written by Marley Fowat, that's about a schooner that he went all over Nova Scotia and the Maritime Provinces up there, and just leaked the whole way. And he talks about all the things he tried to stop it from.
It wasn't a cement boat.
It was a wood boat. An old wood boat, yeah.
Yeah. KINS, News and Information Times 319. We'll be back with more from Troy Nicolini.
There's a brand new show on KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Country Gold with Randy Owen, Sunday evenings from 8 till midnight. It's a 4-hour intensive music show hosted by the lead vocalist of the group Alabama. Country Gold will feature 13 songs per hour and highlighted music from the 70s to the mid-90s. Be sure to listen to KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Sunday evening from 8 till midnight, Country Gold with Randy Owen.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Troy Nicolini, boat guy.
Yep.
We talked a little bit about the mechanical side. What about the physicalness of the craft itself? You mentioned the wooden hull, and I would imagine most of boats still have got wooden hulls that we're going to see. Yeah, the big container ship. Yeah, okay, great, the double hulls and the oil tankers and that kind of stuff. But the most of the boats that we would see in Humboldt Bay or in Brookings, how do you maintain a wood-hulled ship?
Basically, you replace wood when it starts to rot, much like you would with a house, and you keep it painted, and you replace fasteners. Fasteners are kind of the problem spot with wood boats, because you got to fasten the wood together, and anything you use is going to want to corrode or in some way be compromised over time in the salt water, and so seems like a lot of boat owners spend a lot of time replacing fasteners or fixing fasteners that are rusting or failing, Most of the fishing fleet here in Humboldt Bay was built with oak frames with Douglas fir planks, and the planks are attached with galvanized boat nails. And they actually last quite a while, but a lot of the boats were built in the 40s, and so those nails eventually rust away, and that's why you see rust streaking down the sides of the hulls. That's those galvanized nails failing.
So fir better than redwood?
Redwood's too soft. It's very rot-proof, but it's too soft. Fir is a surprisingly tough wood. It's really sinewy and has great compression strength, and it holds fasteners really well. So fir, and it's, of course, local, so many of those boats were built when there was old-growth fir everywhere.
So you had the redwood is too soft for contact, or just
for
normal wear and tear?
For compression strength. So like
it would just squish.
Yeah, if you banged up against a dock, it would just, yeah.
So, oh.
Yeah, it's just too soft. And I guess you have to use really thick dimension to give you the actual tensile strength, but it would still not have the compression strength. So, for example, like styrofoam has no compression strength, whereas oak and fir have really good compression strength.
So fir is really the wood of choice in the water.
Yep. It has a tendency to, it's a little more rot prone than, say, cedar. And cedar is what a lot of the early boats were built out of, like the old Italian Monterey fishing boats, they were cedar.
So the Port Orford cedar
exactly.
That's is the
best,
ideal?
That's the best wood there is from a rot standpoint.
Yeah. Can you, realistically, build a boat from the bottom up?
It's done periodically, but it's shockingly expensive. I mean, my boat's 46 feet. It's a traditional plank on frame, old style wood boat. If I commissioned somebody to build just the hull for that today, it'd be like $350,000 or $400,000.
Oh, really?
Just because of the cost of really good wood and good fasteners today, and the lack of skilled labor, so it's kind of a premium to find somebody to build that kind of boat.
That's what I was wondering. Is it a compound angle as you're starting to build the hull?
It is.
It's not.
But
square.
I've seen guys who've come from house building to boat building or trying to do restoration, and it's always a shock for them because most things in houses are 90 degrees, which makes life easy. You set that chop saw at 90 degrees or 45 degrees, and boom. With boats, there's almost no 90 degrees. Everything is a curve or an angle, and so, yeah, it can mess with your head if you come from a home building background. But it's also challenging, you know.
So how tough is it to replace a board?
It's pretty darn tough. They look like long, skinny boards that are bent into shape, but they're actually conical sections. So, in other words, if you pull that plank off the hull and you lay it on a flat board, it takes up a board that's like three times as wide as the plank looks because it's actually curved.
Because of the angles.
Yeah, it's cut out of a board into a curved shape, and then it fits up into the hull. It's pretty amazing.
So what is the normal dimension of?
That's a great question. The thickness for most of the commercial fleet here, like a boat, in the 45-foot range is anywhere between an inch and a half or 2 inches thick.
So that's not too bad.
No, it's not too
bad. You get a 4x.
Yeah.
And work that. But
then the width is the tough thing because it may only look like it's 6 inches wide on the boat, but it came out of a 12 or 14-inch wide board to get that out of it because, again, it's curved when it lays on a flat surface.
So you better be having two different projects at work.
Yeah.
The boat. And what to do with the leftovers of the materials
You've
of the boat.
You've got to have a wood stove if you're a wooden boat builder. But you also have to not, it's really tough to waste, you know, I always try to find something to do with the pieces that come out of it.
I was thinking fencing.
Yeah.
But
yeah, or, you know, you're always trying to find something to use with the scraps because everything you cut out in a boat, like you take a 4x8 sheet of plywood, you cut something out of it for a boat that's curved, now you have this corner left over. I have millions of corners of plywood in my shop. Everybody who works on boats does, you know. Seriously, every boat builder's tripping over leftover corners. It's like a sickness because we can't throw them away, you know.
So that's with the hull itself.
Now, yeah.
A lot of folks probably haven't been below deck. What are some of the surprises, the structural surprises there?
Well, that's a great question. The hull is actually the easiest part for a wood boat, believe it or not. It's relatively smooth and consistent. It's the deck structures and the cabins and the windows. So normally freshwater leaks on the deck structure cause terrible havoc inside the boat. Because the rain, you know, just like on a house, with a house that's got a nice roof. Imagine if all your windows and stuff on a house were kind of facing up. I mean, that's kind of how a boat is. And so water's always wanting to get in. And one little freshwater leak can get down and cause rot. One interesting thing about wood, it won't rot in salt water. If you take a piece of wood and put it in salt water, the salt water stops the fungus from growing. So that's why the hull typically doesn't rot. But the rainwater is the enemy. And any freshwater on top of a wood boat can cause rot.
So do you put a false
You
floor?
Sheathe it with fiberglass or you sheathe it with paint or in the old days they used window screen with this weird kind of gooey mix that would sheathe the wood. Anything you can do to keep the fresh water out of the deck structure.
And that would be below the deck?
Or above the deck to keep it from getting down into the cabin, yeah.
Yeah, down below into where the wood is.
Yeah, because if you get that fresh water inside the cabin, if you go down on a wood boat and it smells kind of musty, that's rot.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's mold, right?
Not a good smell, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a cousin of mold. It's called brown rot, and it's basically it's a fungus that eats wood. And,
that's delightful.
Generally speaking, you don't want something eating your wood.
We don't want to. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information, Times 3:30. We'll be back with more from Troy Nicolini.
There's never been a clear winner in the so-called battle of the sexes, but in the battle for bacteria-free hands, one half of the population is germier than the other. So whose hands are cleaner, men or women? Hi, I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and here's to your health. The research has tested 51 college students using a new detailed system for detecting bacterial DNA. But remember, most of the bacteria in our bodies is either harmless or beneficial.
Dr. Hoffman answers some of your health questions on Health Talk, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 on KWSW 980 AM.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Troy Nicolini about boats and, I guess, your probably third passion.
Yeah. Thank you for keeping me out
child,
of trouble.
Child, bride,
yeah.
Boat.
Yeah. Well, don't forget about the weather service. That's in there somewhere. You know, I'm very passionate.
Yeah, yeah, maybe a 3B, huh?
Yeah.
With the boat itself, as you're customizing it, designing it, if it's something that's new, how do you know what to do?
Man, that's another great question. I redesigned the whole forward cabin, and I wrestled with it a lot. I talked to some of the local professional boat builders, Ken Bates, who's with Cloudburst, David Peterson, looked at lots of books, you know, just sort of like fumbled my way through it. I mean, I guess I learned a lot in life through the School of Hard Knocks, which is not the most efficient, but it's a darn good teacher at the end of the day.
Yeah, so, I would prefer to be able to dock the boat a little bit differently than the hard knock method.
Right. Yeah. But I did make some mistakes, you know, like I bent beams for the cabin top to be curved. And I didn't realize that when you let it off a jig, that they kind of straighten out a little bit. So my cabin top's a little too flat. But nobody else will notice it except me. I see it from 100 yards away. So I, you know, next boat I build, I'll get it. I'll get that right.
Things like living accommodations.
Yeah.
How do you? You could probably go with the maple-lined wood for the sleeping accommodations, or the kitchen that has got the Viking or the Fox gas stoves in there,
right.
You could go with a hibachi. How do you arrive at those types of decisions?
Yeah, that's funny you ask that, because as I mentioned during the break, I restored a Craftsman for my wife's business, and there I just tried to go with the Craftsman era. It was like everything was sort of clear for me, but with a boat, there's so many decisions. So I've kind of gone with the approach that form follows function. So I just built everything out of natural wood, and that's the style that it will look like now. So that sort of
Log cabin.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Form follows function. But it's really pretty. It's varnished, you know, and it's cedar and it's jatoba wood, and it's really pretty. But so there's really nothing covering the wood. You see the raw strength of the beams, you know, and the ruggedness of the wood construction. So that's kind of the look I ended up going for, just by maybe a little bit of laziness, but it just sort of happened. But
as opposed to the cabin floating down the Eel River in 64 during the flood.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. The distinction there being clear.
I'd invite you down to see the cabin, but it's only the height. The ceilings are only
about... I'd kill myself, yeah.
They're about 6'2", so you'd have a hard time. I figured it was plenty for me. I'm 5'11". I looked up on that 3 extra inches. I can even wear a baseball cap and I'll still be fine. But I wasn't thinking about you, Brian. It's just that's my selfish nature, you know?
Yet again.
I know.
What about above the deck? There are... You know, the benches and the patio boat style.
If you're
doing fishing, you know, it's a whole different juxtaposition. If you're going just putting around the bay, one thing. If you're going out on the ocean, something else. How'd you arrive at that?
That's really another interesting question, because my boat's right below Cafe Marina. So a lot of people come out of the restaurant after a nice big brunch on a Saturday, and they walk down and they look at Sabrina, my boat, and I'm there working on her. And you can tell they're scratching their head, wondering, like, what is this boat for? It's hard to make sense of what it's for. So she's actually a commercial fishing sailing boat, which is kind of uncommon. So the whole deck layout is driven by the need to be able to sail to the site to catch fish, and then do the things you do to catch a fish and store the fish in the fish hold, and then drive the boat and sail it home. So that's what drove the whole deck layout. It's about open space to walk and maneuver and to work the gear to catch fish. And so that's why she's sort of an unusual looking boat to most people.
So you do have a full ice hold?
Yep, a 10-ton fish hold to put the fish. Yep.
Now, how do you support that?
By support, you mean like structurally?
Structurally, with the liquid, so it's not getting into the rest of the boat.
Yeah, that's
the
a great,
temperatures,
yeah.
Moisture.
Yeah, great question again. So this boat has a watertight bulkhead in front of the fish hold and behind it. So the fish hold's right in the middle, and then there's a wall, basically. And then forward of that is the cabin where you eat and sleep. And then there's another wall on the back of the fish hold, and behind that is where the engine is, and you steer standing above the engine in the wheelhouse. So it's a watertight bulkhead.
So you're at the back of the boat.
Yeah, she's a little unusual in that regard. It's called a schooner design, where you sit in the back.
Or more of a barge, yeah. Is what I was thinking.
And it's really nice for me, because I'm actually a little prone to seasickness. And the back of a boat has an easier motion than the front of the boat. So normally, you see most of the fish boats have the wheelhouse in the
so
bow.
So you put your buddies in the front.
Yeah, go up there and
let them catch the wave if it happens. Yeah.
Yeah, the bow tends to go up really high and then fall down and very rapidly. And I tend to get seasick in the bow, so... It's just the opposite of a car. You ever notice the back seat is the rougher ride in a car?
So you're a forklift.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
So, and obviously that was on purpose. Was that a design pattern after other craft?
Yeah. If you go to really rough areas like Alaska or the North Atlantic, that style you see pretty commonly. So this boat was modeled after an Alaskan halibut schooner, which were built in the 20s, and they all had the place you steered in the back of the boat because it's really rough up there.
But with the sun deck.
I don't have a sun deck. The sun deck doubles as the fish deck. So if you don't mind, the smell of fish, then, yeah.
Or you go out either for crab or you say, we're just going to go putting around the bay today, right, dear?
Yeah. Well, interestingly, my wife, when I was remodeling this boat, said, we could make that whole fish hold a really lovely cabin. Extra bunks, a nice little place to sit and have a glass of wine after a rough day on the water.
And that could be just your cooler.
Yeah. Right. So, yeah, the layout of the
still in progress, eh?
Still in progress, yeah. Yet to be decided.
KINS, News and Information Times 342. We'll return with more from Troy Nicolini.
Water always wins. That's why there's a Grand Canyon. I'm Glenn Higgy, America's master handyman. Keeping water away from your home's foundation is one of the most important things you can do. If your home is on a crawl space, you need to know what is going on under your feet. Your home's structural integrity and your family's health may depend on it.
Listen to Glenn Higgy, Sunday morning, 7 to 8 a.m. on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 345. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Troy Nicolini. Troy, if somebody has the real weird notion that they want to do this, they want to build a boat, they want to renovate a boat, they want to live on a boat, they want to have a career on board a boat.
Yeah.
Where do they go to get that kind of information? One of the things that Lou Quimby talks about a lot is if you have a dream, like for retirement, try it and sure it's something, like you mentioned water sickness. Boy, you build your sailboat and you find out you can't sail because you just have violent reaction to the water.
Yeah.
Kind of. How do you find out if this might be something?
I have a friend who's always been a little sort of admired the boat restoring I'm doing and thought, boy, I'd love to do that boat building. So he found a course up on the coast of Oregon, a one-week course where you go up and you build a canoe. They teach you how to build the boat, and you build your own boat in the course of a week, and you take it home. And he had a great time. I don't know if that actually satisfied his need or if he'll go farther, but that is a really smart thing to do. See if you actually like it, because it's a pretty big commitment and tools and to learn. There are wooden boat building schools. Not really. It's weird. The Northwest in Port Townsend has a great school, and then the East Coast has a couple of schools. And you can go and do two-week short studies, or you can go get a full course in how to build or restore a boat. So there are some ways to get some exposure.
I would think that it would be a rude awakening. You mentioned the house guy. Most of us like to think around the house a little bit. Well, if I'm off an eighth of an inch, I call that perfect, right?
Yeah.
In your weekend vacation, eighth of an inch means you're not only getting wet, but there's a lot of stuff happening, and you got to take care of it really quickly.
Might sink, yeah.
The preciseness, is there a personality also that is better suited for boat renovation rather than something else?
Yeah, if you're a guy who loves to do really fast framing and can't stand finish work on a house, boat building is probably not for you. And I get that because framing's fun, especially with a nail gun and a chop saw. You can move so fast. But if you get really impatient when you have to do finish work and would rather have someone else do it, then boat building is probably not the right hobby. So I think you asked a really good question to help somebody.
Cabinet building.
Yeah, if you love cabinet building, just put some angles in there and bam, you've got it. There's a guy in town, retired teacher, and he's built about 10 boats now. He just picked it up himself, and each boat's got better and better. And you know, Barry Priestley. He's a really nice guy. He used to teach, I think, well, I'm not sure what school, but I think anybody can learn to boat build, and he really enjoys it. You know, we've talked over the years, and there's a bunch of folks like in Humboldt County and out in the trees there that are building boats and learning how to do it. Almquist has a program on how to build boats.
How big can you get? What would be realistically as large? I mean, could you do one of these smaller yachts if you were so inclined?
Well, that's a good question. The boat that I just mentioned, Barry, this gentleman, he's building, I think, about a 28-foot motorboat that fits on a trailer, and he takes it up to British Columbia and Alaska and takes it up in the fjords there. And so that's actually a yacht. I mean, it's got a toilet, so it's a yacht. And, you know, and he and his wife
can... And plumbing.
Can sleep on it, and that can fit in a garage, a typical garage, you know. So that's probably the upper limit before you start thinking about having to build a shed to cover the boat that you want to build. Like, my boat was built by a gentleman in 69 in Fort Bragg, and he built it out in his backyard and took him like 3 years, but it was a pretty big undertaking. So
I had the opportunity a number of years ago now to go to Wisconsin and Sturgeon Bay, and that's where they build a lot of the Scotty Pippen's yacht.
Yeah.
150-foot yacht.
Oh, yeah. That's a real yacht,
And where they're wintered and they're worked on over the... It's amazing, but... To me, what it showed is that people have passion for water and watercraft Skidoo,
yeah.
Vroom Vroom, to the big massives. It's something a lot of people like.
And it is an irrational passion, but there's something about it that just gets to the core, you know, of who we are. Water just has an amazing effect. And being on a boat, on the water, bobbing around, there's just nothing better, you know, for many of us.
Well, yeah, I mean, from tubing all the way up.
All the way up, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, look at kids. We know my wife and I live on Fairhaven right there on the beach, and anybody who visits with a child, the child runs down, rips all their clothes off, and hops in the water within 3 minutes.
And many of their parents, too. But that's a different story, different show.
I was going to leave that out.
Thanks for coming by, Troy.
Thank you.
Enjoy your weekend.
Thanks, you too.
We've been talking shop with Troy Nicolini. Join us tomorrow morning for the shopping show and more talk shop on Monday. Till then, have a safe day.